Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, August 11th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures look to add to yesterday's rally.
Softening inflation isn't swaying Fed officials when it comes to policy.
Gas prices continue to fall, dipping below $4 a gallon.
And Disney shares surge as it beats profit estimates and it announces a price hike for streaming.
New York Mayor Adams and Texas Governor Abbott continue to spar over busloads of migrants to the city. Plus, former President Trump pleads the fifth. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another win for the red-hot Mets. The Yankees lost in Seattle. The Giants have their preseason opener tonight at New England.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 13 points. Dow futures up 125. And NASDAQ futures up 33. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. Yield 2.76%. And the yield on the two-year, 3.17%. Nathan.
Well, Karen, the rise in futures this morning builds on yesterday's powerful rally. The S&P 500 closed at a three-month high, while the NASDAQ 100's up more than 20% now from its June bottom. It was all fueled by softer-than-expected inflation data. Alan Lands, Director of Research at Lands Global, is skeptical.
All of a sudden now, one CPI report and now, you know, inflation is calm and taken care of, et cetera. So for some reason, investors, you know, meme stocks are back and you know, it's just a total exaggeration.
Alan Land says he remains cautious. He was a guest on Bloomberg Business Week, heard weekday afternoons on Bloomberg Radio and streaming live on YouTube.
Well, Nathan, the Wall Street rally has now spilled overseas. Stocks in Hong Kong and China surged more than 2% overnight. And we get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Tech shares spurred gains in the regional index, excluding Japan, which was closed for a holiday. China's bourses advanced, even as investors digested a warning from the PBOC about inflation threats and a pledge to avoid massive stimulus. South Korea's won gained as much as 1% against the dollar as the nation's trade deficit widened, while the Singapore dollar retreated as the Ministry of Trade and Industry lowered its 2022 growth forecast following a contraction in the economy in the second quarter. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Softening inflation data may be exciting markets, but it's not changing minds at the Fed. Let's get that story live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari wants the benchmark interest rate at 3.9% by the end of this year and at 4.4% by the end of 2023.
The idea that we are going to start cutting rates early next year when inflation is very likely going to be well in excess of our target, I just think it's not realistic.
Kashkari's counterpart, Charles Evans of Chicago, welcomed the lower CPI print, but says inflation remains unacceptably high, and he wants to continue raising rates into next year.
I think it'll be 3.75% to 4%. So sort of a 4% top funds rate at the end of next year is what I'm thinking about.
Mary Daly also adding to that call. The San Francisco Fed president tells the Financial Times it's far too early to declare victory over inflation. She's not ruling out a third consecutive 75 basis point increase in September. Daly, by the way, is going to be on Bloomberg Radio and TV tonight at 7:30 Eastern. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Well, that sentiment from Fed officials is being echoed by the U.S. Commerce Secretary. Gina Raimondo spoke with Bloomberg's David Westin.
It is good news, although I do think we have to be cautious. A big reason for the good news, gas prices are leveling off, and that's certainly helpful to consumers. But as you point out, there are other issues like in housing that we have to still keep our eye on the ball. As we've said all along, there's no silver bullet here.
Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo mentioned falling gasoline prices, and we have more news on that front this morning. AAA reporting the average price of gas in the U.S. has now fallen below $4 a gallon.
And we get another reading on U.S. inflation this morning, Karen. Economists predict July's producer price index rose 10.4% on a year-over-year basis. That would be less than June's historic 11% increase. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has more.
Gasoline prices could be the theme of today's report. Falling gasoline prices. They've been sloshing around for 2 months and accounted for almost all of June's increase in U.S. wholesale prices. Outside of fuel, Bloomberg Economics says costs remain elevated, though the peak is probably behind us. We saw a similar pattern in Wednesday's data on July consumer prices, but there's a long way to go. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Well, back now to the equity market. Shares of Disney up more than 8% in early trading. The media giant's third quarter results beat estimates for sales, profit, and subscriber growth. It's also raising the price of its flagship Disney Plus streaming service by 38%. We get more from Bloomberg's Lucas Shaw.
The thing that really Disney announced today is not only stronger growth than anybody expected in streaming, which kind of bucks the trend we saw everywhere else, whether it was Netflix, HBO Max, Paramount, Peacock, but perhaps most importantly, that it's raising prices across the board for all of its services, and it feels like it's now, you know, established itself enough with the customers that it's able to do that.
And Bloomberg's Lucas Shaw says Disney will introduce an ad-supported version of its flagship streaming service and raise the price of the ad-free option to $11 a month.
Well, it's not just Disney on the move this morning, Karen. Shares of Sonos are plunging down nearly 20% in early trading. Let's get the details live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Audio products maker Sonos cut its annual revenue view. Company executives are citing a more challenging macroeconomic backdrop against an appreciating dollar and high inflation. And that's all pressuring consumer sentiment. As a result, the company extended its timeline to achieve its previously issued targets to beyond fiscal year 2024. Sonos is also saying CFO Brittany Badgley is stepping down to pursue another opportunity and names Eddie Lazarus interim CFO. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Well, shares of Bumble are also falling this morning. They're down more than 7%. That's after the online dating app company trimmed its revenue forecast for the year. And again, futures this morning are on the rise. Straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, 75 degrees in Central Park. We got an accident in Newark, eastbound Route 22 at Freelandhuysen Avenue. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world, including the latest on the migrant influx. Michael?
Yes, sir. Another busload of migrants have been shipped to New York City by Texas Governor Greg Abbott as a political message to the Biden administration and the city's leaders. Other busloads to so-called sanctuary cities have been sent to Washington. It is fueling a political battle between the Republican governor and the Democratic mayors in the cities. Yesterday, nearly 100 migrants arrived in New York City from Texas. New York Mayor Eric Adams says he might send a busload of New Yorkers to Texas to help Democratic gubernatorial candidate Beto O'Rourke oust Abbott from office. Abbott responded on Fox.
Go ahead, Mayor. Make my day.
However, the mayor shot back on CBS 2.
I know he thinks he's Clint Eastwood, but he's not. He is a anti-American governor.
Mayor Adams says there's nothing successful about treating people with this lack of dignity. Donald Trump says he invoked the Fifth Amendment and wouldn't answer questions under oath in the long-running New York civil investigation into his business dealings. Trump was at New York Attorney General Letitia James's office yesterday. He sent out a statement saying he declined to answer the questions under the rights and privileges afforded to every citizen under the United States Constitution. An Iranian official is at large wanted for the plot to allegedly assassinate former National Security Advisor John Bolton. Bolton says Iran cannot be trusted, especially when it comes to the nuclear arms deal.
I think it's a totally untrustworthy government. I think there is no possibility they will comply with commitments that they make. They are enemies of America. They hate us as the great Satan, as they hate Israel as the little Satan.
The Department of Justice says 45-year-old Iranian operative Shahram Porsafi offered $300,000 to assassinate former National Security Advisor Bolton in retaliation for the killing of a top Iranian general in 2020. Kim Jong-un's sister revealed that the North Korean leader suffered from a high fever and was seriously ill during a recent COVID outbreak. She vowed to eradicate South Korean authorities if they continued to tolerate propaganda leaflets the regime blames for spreading the virus.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg Nathan.
Okay, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshower.
All right, Nathan, the Mets still on fire. Another easy win. They led the Reds 6-0 in the third inning. They won 10-2. They've won six in a row. In the last five, they've only allowed a total of nine runs. They've won 15 of their last 17, and all but two of those 15 wins have been by three runs or more. The schedule does get tougher. Phillies are hot. They come to Citi Field tomorrow. They rallied to win last night. The Phillies have won seven in a row, 12 of 13. Mets then go to Atlanta for four games. The Braves won in Boston. They still trail the Mets by seven. After that series, the Mets will go to Philly for four. Yankees off tonight and then in Boston. They'll try to salvage something out of this road trip that's been a disaster so far. Swept in St. Louis. In Seattle, they went 19 innings without a run. Did come alive in the seventh with home runs by Kyle Higashioka. Aaron Judge at his 45th of the year, but Seattle came right back, bottom of the seventh.
He drives one right field. That ball is going back. Giddy up, gone! Home run, Carlos Santana! And the Mariners have a 4-3 lead. Carlos breaks it 0 for 17 with home run number 11, and the Mariners, man, are they chopping it up here. T-Mobile Park.
At 4-3 the final, Cairo the call. The home run came off Albert Abreu after Nestor Cortes had pitched very well. He had a no-hitter in the sixth. The Yanks just 10-18 their last 28 games. Dyersville, Iowa tonight, the Field of Dreams game that the Yanks played in last year. It's the Cubs and the Reds. Also tonight, the Giants preseason opener at New England with a new coaching staff and only three preseason games now. New coach Brian Daboll wants to play his starters, at least in the early going. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures up 11 points. Dow futures up 124. NASDAQ futures higher by 21 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 2/32. The yield, 2.76%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. It'll turn partly sunny this afternoon with highs near 85 degrees. Mostly sunny, low 80s to end the week. Sunshine Saturday, high near 80. Right now, 75 and cloudy in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning after the S&P 500 hit a three-month high. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 10 points. Dow futures up 115 and NASDAQ futures up 15. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.76%. Yield on the two-year, 3.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 91 cents at $92.85. cents a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $7.10 at $18.06.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0340 against the dollar. British pound 1.2216. The yen 132.58. And looking at Bitcoin this morning, up 2.1% at $24,420. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Former President Trump appeared before New York's Attorney General for a sworn deposition as part of a civil investigation into his family real estate business. Trump signed it the fifth, declining to answer any questions. U.S. gas prices have dipped under $4 a gallon for the first time in more than 5 months. AAA says the national average is $3.99 for a gallon of regular. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Mariners 4-3. The Mets beat the Reds 10-2. The Red Sox, Nationals, A's, and Giants all lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and that news we got this morning about gas prices falling finally below $4 a gallon sets us up quite nicely for the conversation we've got teed up right now with Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee to talk about what else. Inflation. Mike, good morning. Food and gas, obviously that's what a lot of consumers care about, you and me, but the Fed is looking past that, and it looks like the market's kind of looking past the Fed.
Yeah, it's a little bit odd that the markets are in disagreement with the Fed about 2023. Mary Daly, the San Francisco Fed Bank president, made some remarks yesterday to the Financial Times to that effect, that she doesn't see any reason why you would be thinking you'd cut rates next year, given that the inflation fight is far from won. All of the Fed officials who spoke yesterday pointed out that, yes, we had a softer-than-expected CPI report, but the year-over-year level is still 8.5%.
Yeah, we're going to hear more from San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly. She's going to be on with Kathleen Hayes later on this evening, 7:30 Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. What more, Mike, do you want to hear from Fed officials? It seems like there's been, tell me if I'm wrong, a pretty fair amount of unanimity when it comes to staying aggressive, keeping the fight up against inflation with aggressive rate hikes.
Yeah, there's a general agreement that their work is not done, that rates need to go higher. We're in the range of 2.25% to 2.5% right now, and pretty much all of them are aiming to get to between 3% and 3.5% by the end of the year, so another 100 basis points. And then there's a bit of a division about how far you go beyond that. There seems to be a general feeling that once you get to 3.5, you can see what the data are telling you about inflation and about jobs, because, of course, they're keeping an eye on that as well. Some, like Neil Kashkari, think they need to go as high as 4.5. So we'll have to wait and see where the terminal rate turns out to be. But they've all made it clear that where we are now is not where we need to be.
Yeah, there's a delicate balance, isn't there, while they fight inflation while still trying to preserve, I guess, the strong jobs numbers that we've seen. The labor market continues to thrive despite the more aggressive moves we've seen from the Fed and the more aggressive talk.
It sure surprised everybody with the July numbers earlier this month. And the question is, can that continue? A lot of job openings, but then you have the matching problem, or the jobs that are open suitable for the kind of workers who are looking for jobs. We'll find that out as time goes on. But with unemployment falling to 3.5%, even as inflation comes down, that's the best of all worlds for the Fed.
Does that make the job tougher for the Fed to pull off the soft landing that everybody's looking for when we have this kind of strength in the job market?
It could work both ways. In a sense, the Fed is happy because unemployment is so low that the labor market can absorb a little bit higher unemployment and a little bit less demand out there. But if we keep going the way we're going and unemployment stays low and companies can't find workers, that creates more wage pressure. So if unemployment is not going up, you have to assume that wages are still rising, and that creates inflation pressure on its own.
Are you expecting that we're going to get a little bit more clarity on the inflation picture later this morning when producer prices come out? Because, like you and many others have rightly noted, there's a lot of data between now and the next meeting, much less between now and Jackson Hole.
Yeah. In terms of the PPI this morning, it'll be its own discrete indicator. It tells us what companies are receiving for their goods and services, and that includes services, which is an important component of all of this, and whether or not they are slowing the pace of rate hikes. Price hikes. And so that's going to be an interesting data point for the Fed to see. But because companies absorb a lot of their costs in their margins, this isn't going to tell us specifically what's going to happen to inflation going forward, but it is a data point along that road. You're absolutely right, though. We have another CPI report. We have another jobs report. We have a retail sales report coming up next week. All of those will feed into Fed thinking. So if you asked a Fed official what they were going to do at the next meeting, they would tell you probably raise rates. But by how much? That's an open question.
Yeah, and you have to think that all that data is going to feed into market volatility as well. Thanks for this, Mike. Great having you on with us this morning. Bloomberg economics correspondent Michael McKee. As we await those producer prices due out 8:30 Wall Street time. And again, another reminder, we'll be speaking live with San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly, 7:30 Wall Street time this evening. Catch that conversation on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television. Ahead of all that, futures still moving higher. S&P futures up 10 points, so modest gains. Dow futures up 118. NASDAQ futures higher by 18 points, but building off the rally that we saw yesterday off the back of consumer prices. The 10-year Treasury right now up 4/32, the yield 2.76%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.16%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly sunny today, mid-80s for an afternoon high. Low 80s, mostly sunny tomorrow for Friday. Sunshine Saturday, high near 80. Right now, 75 and cloudy in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers charges margin loan rates from 2.83% to 3.83%. Their clients can also earn extra income by lending their fully paid shares of stock. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Up first, U.S. futures adding to yesterday's rally, fueled by softer-than-expected inflation data. Anastasia Amoroso, chief investment strategist at iCapital, says it might be time to add equity exposure.
The time to do this was not in February, in retrospect, when we still had 300 basis points or more of rate hikes to go. But if we have 75 or 100, that should not pressure the multiples as much anymore. So I would be selectively looking to add to some of the thematic stocks, to high growth stocks that have not worked in the last 6 months.
iCapital's Anastasia Amoroso says positioning will be important for buyers in current market conditions.
The softening inflation data may be exciting markets, Karen, but it's not changing minds at the Fed. We get that story live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari says the idea the Fed's going to start cutting rates early next year is unrealistic.
I think a much more likely scenario is we will raise rates to some point, and then we will sit there until we get convinced that inflation is well on its way back down to 2%.
At a separate event, the Chicago Fed President Charles Heffin said inflation remains unacceptably high. He expects the central bank to be increasing rates into next year. San Francisco President Mary Daly didn't rule out a third consecutive 75 basis point increase in September. Daly, by the way, is going to be on Bloomberg Radio and TV tonight at 7:30 Eastern. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. We get more inflation data today with the producer price index due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
All right, to corporate news now, Karen. Shares of Disney are higher after it beat third quarter estimates, and shares of Sonos are also moving this morning in the other direction, down now 20%. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with that. Renita?
Good morning, Nathan. Audio products maker Sonos cut its annual revenue view. Company executives are citing a more challenging macroeconomic backdrop. As a result, the company extended its timeline to achieve its previously issued targets to beyond fiscal year 2024. Sonos is also undergoing a leadership change, with its CFO stepping down to pursue another opportunity. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. That's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 75 degrees in Central Park. Still got that accident, Newark, eastbound 22 at Freeling Heisen Avenue. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Nathan, thank you very much. The spat continues between New York Mayor Eric Adams and Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Yesterday, another busload of about 100 migrants arrived in New York City from Texas. Abbott says it's a message to the Biden administration and the city's leaders about the flow of migrants at the border. Mayor Adams responded.
There's nothing successful about treating people with this lack of dignity.
Along with Mayor Adams' city, Abbott is also sending migrants to Washington, D.C., Mayor Muriel Bowser.
We have a growing humanitarian crisis that we expect, that the federal government expects, is going to only worsen.
Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. More than 165 buses have left Texas since April. Donald Trump says he invoked the Fifth Amendment and wouldn't answer questions under oath in the long-running New York civil investigation into his business dealings. Trump was at New York Attorney General Letitia James's office. He sent out a statement saying he declined to answer the questions under the rights and privileges afforded to every citizen under the U.S. Constitution. FBI Director Christopher Wray says he could not talk about FBI agents searching Mar-a-Lago, the home of former President Trump. Wray did say that he is concerned about the threats to law enforcement that have been voiced since then.
Any threats made against law enforcement, including the men and women of the FBI, as with any law enforcement agency, are deplorable and dangerous.
FBI Director Christopher Wray spoke from his field office in Omaha, Nebraska. The Justice Department has charged a member of Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps with planning to assassinate John Bolton, Donald Trump's former national security advisor. The criminal complaint is against 45-year-old Shahram Pourzafi, who remains at large abroad. Bolton says threats like these from Iran are par for the course for Americans.
To me, the Iranian nuclear weapons program and its support for this kind of terrorism are two sides of the same coin. This is the real picture of the regime in Tehran. This is what it does. It threatens to kill Americans.
The alleged plot against former National Security Advisor Bolton was likely revenge for the killing of a top Iranian general when Trump was president. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thanks. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stanshauer has a Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Mets made it 6 in a row, 15 of the last 17. Beat the Reds easily, 10-2. Francisco Lindor had another big game. He's already tied Jose Reyes' record for most RBIs in a season by a Mets shortstop. The Mets move 34 games over 500. The Dodgers, the only MLB team with a better record. Dodgers last night won their 10th in a row. They won on a pinch-hit three-run homer by Joey Gallo, who they just got from the Yankees. The Yankees in Seattle went 19 straight innings without a run. Finally, in the seventh, home runs by Kyle Higashioka and Aaron Judge at his 45th, but Carlos Santana homered bottom of the seventh. The Mariners won 4-3. Yanks wasting good outing by Nestor Cortez. He had a no-hitter going in the sixth. Yanks just 1-5 on this road trip that now takes them to Boston starting tomorrow. The Giants tonight play at New England. The preseason opener, new coach Brian Daboll, asked about using his starters.
Some guys have played a lot of football. Some have played less. Everybody's in new systems here with our system on offense, our system on defense. The kicking game is similar, but I think that's important for, you know, to play football, to have live reps.
Daboll, a one-time New England assistant as Giants coach. He, of course, replaced Joe Judge. He'll be on the other sideline tonight. He's now the Patriots quarterback coach. Jets have their preseason opener tomorrow night in Philadelphia, and also tomorrow Cleveland at Jacksonville. Deshaun Watson expected to play for the Browns, even though he'll be suspended for the start of the regular season. Tennis in Toronto, Serena Williams lost. She's going to play the tournament in Cincinnati, then come to New York for apparently her swan song at the U.S. Open. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
Now, end of an era. All right, thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg's Laura Wright. Laura, of course, the big corporate story this morning. Disney's earnings beat. We got to dust off those happiest place on earth metaphors again.
We really do. We're in a whole new world of streaming to second
your pun. Thank you for that.
Yes, Disney up nearly 8.5% in pre-market trading. And look, total subscribers across all of Disney's streaming platforms that include Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu is now 221 million. That is fractionally higher than its main competitor, Netflix. And those gains really came from the strength of the Disney Plus platform, which itself added over 14 million subscribers for the quarter, ahead of the street's projections. But the losses are still heavy at the direct-to-consumer business. It lost over $1 billion. Disney have a solution, though. They're going to introduce ads automatically on the Disney Plus flagship service and with their Disney bundle. And if you want to avoid those adverts, you'll have to pay a little bit more, $3 extra a month on Disney Plus and $2 extra a month for the Disney bundle. So passing on that pursuit of growth cost to customers.
Yeah, we saw some strength on the Disney Park side as well. And I see you're keeping an eye on another travel name this morning.
Yeah, Vacasa. So this is a name that was new to me. It has a market cap of around $1 billion, up 18% ahead of the US Bell. It's a holiday rental company. The loss was much worse than feared here. It was a loss of $2 million for the quarter compared to the average analyst estimate of a loss of $17 million. Now, the company has raised its full-year guidance. That's off the back of strong demand. We've seen insatiable appetite to travel from customers. And analysts at JP Morgan say, look, the trends remain solid, and the company may break even ahead of target potentially the end of this year.
Now, we have another big move on the downside this morning after a completely different earnings story.
Yeah, Sonos down nearly 20%. So this is the audio products maker known for its premium home speaker systems. I'm familiar with this company because my dad is obsessed with his Sonos installed speaker system. Every time my parents have a dinner party, he's putting his bespoke playlist on to impress the guests. But here the downside was, look, strong dollar making exports more expensive and inflation pressuring consumer sentiment. Now, if these pre-market losses hold, Sonos will face its biggest drop in value in nearly 4 years. Analysts at Stifel, they admit these macro headwinds impacting consumer demand were far worse than they had originally expected. So not good news ahead of the open for Sonos, although my dad is still a big fan.
Yeah, he's got to get more speakers around his room. Thanks, Laura. Thanks for this. Laura Wright of Bloomberg News with us checking out the pre-market. Futures are moving higher. S&P futures up 11 points. Dow futures up 129. NASDAQ futures higher by 22 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, partly sunny, mid-80s today, low 80s, mostly sunny tomorrow. Sunshine Saturday with a high near 80, low 80s, mostly sunny by Sunday. Right now, 75 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures on the rise this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Tatiana Darier. Tatiana, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Futures are higher, like you said, with the Dow leading the way. Those contracts up about 134 points, S&P's up 12, and NASDAQ up 25. Treasuries are also higher, the 10-year yield down about a basis point to 2.76%. Oil is up 1, and Bitcoin is trading above 24,000. On the economic front today, jobless claims and PPI data at 8:30. In early trading this morning, crypto stocks are higher, Marathon Digital, Riot Blockchain, and Coinbase among names. Regarding earnings, Disney up 8% after reporting better than expected subscribers figures for Disney Plus and raised the price on the streaming service by 38%. And dating app Bumble and theme park operator Six Flags both down sharply after their numbers. In other news, Morgan Stanley cut its PC shipment estimates for the year, saying demand for the personal computers is weakening. And wrapping things up here, First Solar was raised to overweight at KeyBank. Live from the First and Breaking News Desk, I'm Tatiana Daria. Karen.
All right, Tatiana, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Former President Donald Trump declined to answer questions related to business dealings in a scheduled deposition with New York State prosecutors. Trump invoked his Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. The Justice Department has charged a member of Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps with planning to assassinate John Bolton, Donald Trump's former national security advisor. Three people were killed when a house exploded in Evansville, Indiana. Almost 40 other homes were damaged in the blast. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Mariners 4-3. The Mets beat the Reds 10-2. The Red Sox, Nationals, A's, and Giants all lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Karen.
Mary Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and a top 10 in the nation for engineering by Money.com. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Gas prices dipping to just under the $4 mark for the first time in more than 5 months. AAA says the national average for a gallon of regular is $3.99. Prices have dropped 15 cents in the past week and 68 cents in the last month. COVID cases in China are at a three-month high. Almost half of the nearly 2,000 infections came from Hainan Island, where tourists had thronged in search of respite. The fast-growing infection rate cast doubt on the Hainan government's goal of achieving zero community transmission by tomorrow. And Apple stepping up its spending on original podcasts. It signed an agreement with a Pulitzer Prize-winning studio and is holding talks with other companies about additional deals. The iPhone maker is looking to add original content to its podcast app that it hopes could eventually turn into shows on its Apple TV Plus service. Sources say the deal, an agreement with Futuro Studios, the maker of the criminal justice series Suave, will fund development and production of podcasts. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's just about 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include former President Trump pleading the fifth with New York's Attorney General, Republicans vowing revenge for Trump probes if they take over Congress, Trump campaign staffers released from nondisclosure agreements, and Speaker Pelosi warning against China establishing a new normal in Taiwan. Let's get more on all these stories now with Bloomberg government congressional reporter Jack Fitzpatrick. Quite the breaking news yesterday, Jack, the former president invoking the Fifth Amendment, something that he said in the past means you're guilty.
Yes. For one, there's a bit of hypocrisy. This is the kind of thing that doesn't play very well for former President Trump on the campaign trail if he were going to campaign. Also, it can matter in this case if they're going to bring a lawsuit. In a civil lawsuit, jurors are allowed to draw a negative inference about people pleading the fifth, whereas in a criminal suit, they would be directed not to take that into consideration. So it's not a great a great sign for former President Trump. We still don't know if they're going to bring the case and what's going to happen next on the New York Attorney General's side. But yes, the sort of imagery of it, as well as any potential legal repercussions, are not really a positive thing for Trump.
Does it change things, Jack, for Republicans who up to now have been really rallying around the president, particularly after the FBI search of his home in Mar-a-Lago, Florida? It seems like they've really been circling the wagons, showing support for the former president against a federal government that they say is overreaching.
Yeah, it does not seem that that has changed. Maybe there will be a little bit more of a reaction to Trump pleading the fifth in this separate issue, the civil case. But there was quite an outpouring of support from high-profile Republicans following the FBI raid. You know, Kevin McCarthy tweeting at Merrick Garland saying, preserve documents and clear your calendar. Some very clear implications that if Republicans manage to win the House and or the Senate, their oversight duties and their control of the probably House Oversight Committee and the Judiciary Committees in the House and Senate would focus on investigating this kind of thing if there's not a clear answer by the DOJ. So the pressure is definitely on the Department of Justice, and it does seem that high-profile, important Republicans on Capitol Hill are very much sticking by former President Trump.
Does this turn into something that could galvanize voters heading into the general election in November? Is this something that energizes more than the GOP base, the idea of showing support for the former president by casting a vote for Republicans in Congress?
It clearly seems to energize the base, but is this the kind of thing that that gets independents or people who may not be that motivated going? It's a bit inside baseball to get into these. It's a raid on his home. We still don't know exactly what information is going to come out from the FBI and when they're going to provide more information. So between now and November, it's a bit hard to say how this plays into the midterms, how it might play into 2024. But yes, clearly people who were with Trump all along are very, very animated about this.
Well, it does seem as though Democrats, particularly President Biden, are starting to feel like maybe the economy is something they can run on now, particularly after the consumer price index came in a little bit cooler than expected.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be running on the economy wholeheartedly, but I think cautious optimism is essentially the response by the Biden administration. They've said that this is good news. It's essentially a month pause in the increase in prices from June to July. But obviously, you look at the year-over-year number in July, and that was an 8.5% increase. So this is also something that Republicans are campaigning on. They're still saying that overall these numbers have been very bad in the longer run over the last year plus. It ties in well, though, with the progress on this major tax and energy and prescription drug pricing bill that the House wants to pass on Friday. There's been some good news for Biden after a really rough stretch and for Democrats running for reelection in the midterms. I wouldn't say they're feeling great about the state of the economy and how it has reflected on them, but a lot better than, maybe a couple months ago.
Yeah, I'm sure the president is hoping that Inflation Reduction Act is going to be sort of the capper on a string of bills that he's managed to be able to sign over the last few days. There have been quite a number of legislative progress moving forward for the president here. Is it having any impact, though, on his approval ratings?
It's not as if his approval rating has turned around entirely. We've seen a little bit of an uptick, but that's in the context of him being way down in the low 40s in many polls and in the percentage of his approval rating. It's not the kind of thing that changes Biden into a major strength for vulnerable Democrats running for reelection. It doesn't necessarily even change it. For example, you saw when there was progress made on this Inflation Reduction Act, you saw someone like Dean Phillips in Minnesota say that he doesn't think that President Biden should run for reelection. There's still some wariness about exactly where Democrats stand heading into the midterms. And yes, there's a bit of momentum for their legislative accomplishments now, but does that turn the economy around by November? Probably not. It's more long-term issues they're having some success with.
Okay, Jack, thanks for this. As always, Bloomberg Government Congressional Reporter Jack Fitzpatrick. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. S&P futures right now, they're up 13 points. Dow futures up 137. NASDAQ futures are higher by 27 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 2/32. The yield, 2.76%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.17%. NYMEX crude's up 0.9%, up 80 cents, $92.73 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4%, or $7.50 at $18.06.20 an ounce. Bloomberg Surveillance is up next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.